Thank the Lord to be here, and I do thank Him for the blessings of this last week. My soul was truly blessed, and I have a little burden here we've been carrying for a minute, and I think that maybe this morning's the time to share it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, just praying You'll bless this morning, Lord, as we open up Your Word. It's Your Word, and Your Spirit is the one who's able to bring it to us. So, Lord, we need You. We need You completely, and we need You in every way, God. I pray You will move by Your Spirit to speak to us what You see we need to hear and help us to be able to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk about well digging. So if we know the process of digging a well, theoretically down under the ground somewhere, we're going to have two spots here. Well, let's just do it. That'll be all right. Down under the ground somewhere, there's water. There's a cavity. Now, wherever that is down here, so they come along with their equipment, and they begin to drill down through this ground. And then at some point, they reach that cavity, and the water comes up. And so this morning, as we think about well digging in the sense of what the Lord is trying to do in our life, I want us to realize that there's a cavity down there that the Lord wants to fill. And He's got to clear a path down to it. And once He then can put the water in it, it can spring up and be a well, living water to life. We'll talk about that some. But I want us to think about that, and what is this process whereby the Lord is able to fill this cavity in our lives and cause us to be a well? In the John 4, the fourth chapter, and turn over there. And we are definitely this morning with this burden, thinking about the process of us allowing God to fill us with His Spirit. It's a process that's grouped under the word consecration. The Lord is the one that sanctifies. The Lord is the one that's able to send His Spirit to us, but we have a part to play to open up to that in our lives. And there's a very real practical application, a practical act on our part, a practical practice, probably a literal practice, I should say, maybe it would be clearer, that we have to understand is necessary and then daily set our minds, choose to perform in our life as we faced with those opportunities to perform it, because every single day, every single one of us has a chance to dig, to clear the space. And you know, we can get to where the Lord has space to put this water down in our cavity and He fills us up. He sanctifies us. But He wants that. You know, the restriction's not in the water. The restrictions are in the things around this place in our life that the Lord is to spring up through in our life and to pour His water into. And so the Lord has a continual work. Can you imagine if how much water, I mean, you could make a huge ocean to feed from the water that's down there. Well, the same is true in our life. You know, we can think, well, there's a moment in our life, but daily, the more we realize this and we allow God to work on us and we make space for Him in our life, then the larger and more able His water is able to flow up through us in life. He's able to fill us better. So, John, the fourth chapter, says in the 23rd verse, he's speaking here and he says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, we've read this before. But what God has for us this morning is that we only have one way to worship God. People, once again, we talked about the sliced bread and how it's convenient to go grab what's off the shelf, but it's not really what it's really meant to be. There's some things there that aren't really supposed to be there. There is not another way to truly worship the Lord. It happens in what we're talking about. If the Lord helps us to bring out what he's given us this morning, it is how we worship the Lord. The word worship means adore. Here, literally, that word means that he wants us to adore him. Because worship, and I think that's a good thing to think about for a minute, because worship can seem like an act. How loud can I say it? How loud can I sing it? How many songs can I say? How much emotion can be moved in this? And the true worship of the Lord, when we truly worship the Lord, it affects our emotions. It does. It should. It moves our heart. That's absolutely part of it. But we don't accomplish it through those things. Those are the results. The volume with which I sing is a result of the adoration I have for the Lord. Those are all results. They are not where it's found. The worship of the Lord, the adoration is found in what we're going to talk about this morning. And it is the requirement. People say, well, I think I'll do it this way or I'll do it this way. Y'all, there's not. It's sliced bread. It's got things in it that aren't there when we're just trying to figure out how we want to do it. Well, I'm going to do it this way. This is how you do it. This is how you worship the Lord. And this is where it comes from and what we're talking about this morning. We again today, the Lord bless us and have mercy on y'all, but he's led us back to Romans 2. And so let's turn over to Romans, the second chapter. And I feel like I'm going to have tread marks on this chapter before I'm done with it, or before the Lord's done with it, I should say. Would never want it to be me, but let's look at Romans 2 in the 6th verse. And it's speaking of God. And it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So the Lord's placed a requirement on him to worship him in spirit and truth. And evidently that's something that creates some kind of work in our life. There's some kind of deeds that come from that. Because it said it's the way what he requires, right? So then these deeds are coming from that place that he requires. Or the insufficiency of them are going to come from the fact that we are not following the path that God told us to do and showed us to do. So he'll render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance, cheerful endurance, in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and mortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, then to them tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and of the Gentile. So those who by well-doing. So there's something that we're going to write up here at the end, but I'll go ahead and tell it to you. Well-digging is well-doing, and well-doing is well-digging. It's wrapped up in that. So well-doing is well-digging. Now what we have to know is what is well-doing. Is well-doing then just me running out and just doing as much good as I can? We're going to follow a path that shows us, by the help of the Lord, that's not sufficing for well-doing. When we practice well-doing in our life, then we'll probably run out and do things for people. We should. Because again, this is a well that springs up. So then, you know, we try to run around with our little water guns on the surface sometimes and satisfy what God's trying to do. Your water gun is not going to take the place of God's well. It's not going to do what's needed to be done. And we want to do that because of what well-doing really is. That cost me much to run around with the water gun. I can buy a water gun for less than $1 probably at a store, and I can run around spraying a bunch of people with it. All right? Digging a well cost a whole lot more money. Cost a whole lot more effort. So it's just easier to run around. And it's water. It's water. If you put your cup over here, I'll give you some water. It's a limited source, and it's not got the power. It's not got the. It's not got the refreshing quality to it that the Lord's water has in our life. It will not suffice. And that's what our picture of well-doing is sometimes. That's what the Lord's saying here. Well-doing goes deeper into our lives, okay? And so, he says, for there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law by the nature do those things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law of themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Okay, so we talked a little last week, and or not last week, but a while back about this. But what this is saying, again, is these people didn't run around with the little water gun. They got down to business with God. They didn't go pick sliced bread off the shelf. Y'all, I like sliced bread. It's fine. It's not a message against it. Like Brother Danny said, it's not a message against it. But they didn't go pick that up. They went and made the bread out of the sources that are supposed to be. They took the effort to go to the length that it took in order to do this. Therefore, while the Jews were running around with their water guns that had water in them, we have the law, we have the word, so we're well-doing. No, because well-doing is the actual application of the word to your life, to you personally. Not you looking at the word and saying, well, this is how things ought to be, so we're going to do this, 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 and this. But by you allowing the word to work, to point deeper down to the bones and the marrow in your life. All right? Running around with a water gun allows me to go and do a bunch of things that well digging is not going to allow me to do. If I'm well digging, it's going to remove things out of my life that are still there when I'm running around on the surface with a water gun. It's something deeper. It's something inside of us. You may own all this property up here, and it's that same property and the same, it's sitting here, it's waiting for it, but there's a lot of things in here that are making it where the water of the Lord is not working in your life. And it will not work. Not until you start clearing out these things. You start removing them. All right? There's no other way around it. You can go, well, give me a little bit of your water. I'm going to put it in here. You go around and squirt a little bit of the water of the word. But it's not coming from inside of you. Nothing has changed in your terrain. Nothing has opened up to put that well where it needs to be, that you can be a source. At some point, you run out of that water. You know, somebody can tell me a word of God and I can carry it to a certain degree. But until I say, oh, what does that mean to me? Lord, let it pierce down in my life. Show me how. Because there's things here that this word's going to point to and say, that's part of what's blocking God in your life. That I'll never know until I say, Lord, allow that point into my life. It's why, you know, when we're up here and we're running around, we can just base it on what we see. Well, I see the tree, so don't run into the tree. I see I see a hole here, so don't run into that hole. But we don't see all the things that are underneath all of that, underneath our property in our life. That can only be seen when the Word of God starts digging. The equipment comes in and starts to dig in our life. And as the equipment digs, the equipment is the Word of God. It begins to open up the ground. And we may see, wow, that's a big rock. Wow, that rock kind of busted up a little easier, but this one's not busting up quite as easy. We're going to have to really go at this one somehow. What is this? And so this is the well-doing the Lord is wanting us to work on in our life, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. We shew the work of the law written in their hearts. So our well-doing is all up here. All right? It never uncovers a source or becomes a source. But God's well-doing will immediately begin to pierce into our lives and change who we are and change the terrain. We're going to look in Romans, the 7th chapter, next. We want to look at, starting with the 21st verse. We're going to give just a moment, because if we can take care of that quickly, and then it's good. Okay. Thank the Lord. So 7 and 21. All right, it says, this is the passage here, and it says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find a law that when I run around with my water gun on the surface, I just take things for what they are. I take me for who I am. I don't dig deep and begin to change that. Then I find a law that while I'm running around here and trying to win a battle with the water gun, so to speak, it's just not happening. It doesn't happen. You know? Can you imagine if someone had a huge fire hose, so to speak? I picture the will of the Lord like a fire hydrant that just, y'all ever open up a fire hydrant, I mean, it's just, things are fixing to get wet everywhere. And imagine one that's supercharged and superpowered and just almost like a geyser that just sprays up, and you're going to go against that with a water gun. Have you ever been there in a water battle and you're facing each other and you're shooting and you both have these little water guns and you can just stay there all day long? But all of a sudden, when somebody else on the other side has a water hose or something a lot more, a fire hydrant, I'm telling you, a hose hooked up to that, you're going to start backing up. Things are, you're not going to be able to stand against that. The devil's not playing with little water guns, okay, in your life. And you're going to keep losing to him as long as that's what you're trying to do, trying to look at what you have and somehow make it measure up without having to let God dig deep in you, without saying, God, this has to change. I have to be willing to take whatever path you show me to allow this to change, or I will keep losing in my life over and over, all right? So he says, I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So what can I do? I'm trying to beat him with the water gun, and he just keeps spraying me back. I can't run him off of my land. The devil's just camped out here. I go over, and I start trying to spray him with what I've got, and he turns on his water hose, and I'm driven back into the little corner of my land that God meant for me to possess, because I can't beat him. Who's going to help me? This is how it's done. The Holy Spirit, taking the steps to let the Holy Spirit in my life, is the only way I will ever be able to drive Satan off my territory. If I don't get a hold of that, he's going to win the battle. And if Satan wins the battle, then my soul, he's going to take my soul to hell. And I don't care where you sit right now. If I'm not willing to take this process, I am not going to win the battle. And Satan's going to drive me off my land, and he's going to own me for eternity. All right? This is important. We have to do this, because it's the only place we can find the power to drive Satan off our land. Okay? It says here, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind of myself, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there are people who sit here and they'll say, well, that means then that I don't have to worry about this. That's not what these scriptures say. The scriptures are not telling you, don't worry about it. Keep just shooting your little water gun at Satan and letting him blow you off the land with his big old water hose. It's okay. There's no condemnation. Let's read just a few more verses, okay? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So, again, somebody might say, well, yeah, that's what I mean. But yet, if somebody's still sitting on my land and owning my land, then I'm not free. I'm not free of them. All right? But people will say, well, maybe it means that you don't have to worry about it. It's okay that Satan's sitting there on your land. Well, let's read another verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So with all clarity, this is a power. The Lord wants to apply our lives, what he has for us, when we're doing and following it the way it is a power to drive Satan off our land, not to tolerate his presence in the middle of it. That is not what God has for us. All right, he has the power to drive Satan off your land. So what's not working? It's not working because we have our own process, is what happens. Because we don't want to start seeing the rocks that have got to be removed out of our life. Because the Lord's not going to set up some tank up here on top for you to hook up to with a hose and start spraying the devil. He's looking to do some well digging. And that is the only thing he's willing to do. He will come and he will dig the well in your life, but you have to be willing to. He'll bring his word, he'll start piercing down. You got to be willing to let him do that in your life. All right? And so what are the rocks? What is it that we see? Well, up here we see, I was fighting Satan and here I am falling again. I realized, I'm spouting things that aren't true. The Lord told me not to lie. And here I am. He's backed me in a corner. He's blown me off my land and I'm finding myself in a pit of lies again. Why? We can see the lie. There's people that, what are the other things the Bible talks about that we shouldn't do? There's just put the names there. Maybe I won't even go into it, but start putting those names of things like that are spelled out. Don't do this. Don't do this. All right, we see that. All right, we see the truth. We see that sitting there. We see Satan laughing, so to speak, in our life. It's all over your life. And we keep trying to fix it up here. And it can't be. Because we got to get some power here in our life, on our land, that can flood the Satan out of our life. All right? And so we have to start digging. So when we get down here, the lie was up here. But down here, we see the things that cause the lie. What are they? Pride? Jealousy? Lord, I'm not a jealous person. Let me dig a little bit. Let me show you something. Lord, I'm not a prideful person. Let me dig a little bit. Let me show you something. Because there's a rock down there that says that. And it says pride. It says jealousy. It says hatred. It says bitterness. It says hurt. It says unforgiveness. It says all these things that we don't see. We see lies. We see all these things, but we don't see these things. It takes God showing them. Because even when we know they exist, they're still down under there deep. And we can't see where they were until God starts taking his word and digging down in our life. And then we see them. Oh, yes, Lord. Okay. And so we go and we pick up a rock and we pull it out and there's some space made. There's some space starting to be made here where the Lord can do what he needs to do in our life. So we pick that out, we pull that out, and we're like, And the Lord keeps digging, and we're like, oh, there's another one. Do you know, unforgiveness, you're not going to pick one rock out of the ground, most likely. That's something you struggle with and get it all. The rocks break, they come apart, and then it's even just different instances in our life that we didn't think about as we were dealing with this one. And then as we dig deeper, we see another one. Where did this come from? Well, you did get that one out. It didn't fall back down in here. It's just that God's going all the way. He's going all the way. He wants your well large. He wants you to have some power in your life. And once, there's a measure of being willing to let the Lord put this down here and some water can start filling this hole. But God doesn't want to trickle. He's working for you to have, what does he say there in John 7? We won't turn there, but we're going to read that eventually, hopefully. He talks about from him that believeth, a well will spring forth, living water. This isn't a picture of a little trickle coming out and just kind of drizzling along your land. This is a well that never runs dry, a spring that doesn't dry up. All right? What comes from a spring that doesn't dry up? Rivers, right? More and more water. It just keeps pushing water on out and on out and on out. And pretty soon the devil's all of a sudden not having these spaces to stand in our lives. And it didn't come because we got up here and we sprayed around. It came, but because, you know, we weren't even looking at him, so to speak, in our life. We began to look at this place in our life and say, this is how it works, isn't it, Lord? This is really how it works. When I'm faced with somebody who does me wrong and I can turn the other cheek, or I can bless them, or I can forgive them, I just picked a huge rock up, and all of a sudden, with me not even looking, what happened up there? All of a sudden, you know, that instance up there and the sin I could see just got blown out of my life. And it was because I was down here in the well digging. That's how it happened. All right? And I didn't even realize it. All right? And so, what does it mean to follow after the Spirit? Let's look again at the fruits of the Spirit over here in Galatians, and let's just think about them for a little bit as we talk. Galatians, the 5th chapter. All right? And down here in the 22nd verse, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right? These are the things that drive out the sins in our life. As we look down here and the Lord says, you know, you weren't patient at all in that situation. What's better? Let's talk about what's better, because we have that too. The Lord, some of this digging is where we've been up here on the surface and we kicked the stone back in the hole. We got a hole going maybe even the water's flowing a little bit, but we got in a little situation and we kicked something down in a hole. The Lord's going to be faithful and say, look what's down there. You're going to have to get that out. Sometimes it's just moving along and we see, oh, here's a stone that says patience. Well, let's get it out. And that's more of a situation where as we face the moment, we say, oh, Lord, I need some patience right here. And all we're thinking is, I'm supposed to be patient, so help me be patient. And in that, some intemperance is moving out of our life. Some lack of patience, some frustration, some things like that. And us just saying, oh, I've just got to be patient here. Lord, help me to be patient. We're down in that hole, picking some things out of the ground that are blocking up the Lord's water in our life. And you know it's going to be that way, because God wants, again, a huge well. He's not looking for a little trickle in our life. Don't get a little trickle and say, okay, let's just cruise along with this. God wants a huge well. So keep digging on your walls. And when you've worked on patience and you've had a big battle of patience, you've got it out of your life and you move on, and a couple of years later, all of a sudden, you're in another battle of patience. Well, now, you might have kicked something down in there, but more likely what happened is you just came to another place and you didn't know existed. A deeper, down deeper, moving those walls out. And like, oh, look, there's another stone. Well, let's take care of it. Let's get it out of here. Don't be discouraged in that. God's just making your hole bigger and bigger and bigger where his well can spring up even more. God's got an unlimited source of water. Don't worry that you're going to make that hole too big for him to fill up, because he's going to fill it up. You make space and his Holy Spirit will fill it up in your life. All right? So let's look for the Lord in these situations daily. Let's realize how we're picking up stones out of our life when we're faced with a moment that doesn't make me joyful, that I want to be mad or I want to be angry or I want to just sit down in my depression or in my frustration. And I say, no, Lord, I don't see that in the list of things. It must be a stone of Satan. It must be a stone of my flesh in my life. So, Lord, I don't know how, but by your grace, I'm going to move on. Because in doing that, I'm down in that hole spiritually, picking that rock out and pulling it out of my life. And I'm going to have a victory here if I approach it this way, by the grace of God. You know, some of those stones are harder to get out. You find some little ones down there and you find some big ones. But God's got all the equipment you need, if you'll stay with it, to dig and pull them out of your life. You know, Romans, so you need to recognize the road that the Spirit will be leading you down. Know what is of the Lord and what is not. But also recognize what it's going to cost you. Romans 8. Let's turn back over there. Romans 8 and the 12th verse says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You know what? This verse has been read for years, and would I be wrong to guess that there's been times we sit there, and when they read that verse, we saw lie, adultery, whatever, up here, the sins that are named out. And we said, okay, that means we're not supposed to do those. Well, however you want to think about it, what's really pointing to is that we've got to be down in this hole, down in this well, digging it out. Because that's where the flesh is that springs all of those things up in our life. And by just trying to cut them off, we're never going to win the battle. That's just a little water gun. We got to get down in the hole and start digging some things out, pulling some rocks out, make space for the Lord in our life. So if I'm going to do this, it's going to cost me who I am. It will cost me who I am. We are debtors not to live after who we are, because we are flesh. And today, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, if it is not for the Lord, you are flesh. The essence of who you are is a lot of stones and dirt that need to be pulled out of this hole so the Lord can spread up in your life and spread out. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, Galatians 5 and 16. Let's turn back over there. I'm sorry to pull you back and forth, but this is what the Lord did to me, so I'm just sharing it like He brought it to me. Galatians 5, and if we look down in the 16th verse here, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is where it's found. Digging down deep here. Let the Spirit dig in your life and show you who you are. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. This is what's stopping the Lord from working in your life. All right? And so, you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because the Lord now has the equipment to dig this hole out and to put His Spirit in your life, to pour His water in there where it can become a well springing up out of you. All right? We be led of the Spirit. You're not under the law. For if we, 24th verse, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. All the things, the spirit of the flesh down in here, all the things that drive who it is, that drive things up to the surface, that show up in our lives, they that are Christ have crucified that. Not the things on the, I mean, it takes care of the things on the surface, you understand me. But where the work is done is down in deep in these things that push those sins up in our life. They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 7th verse says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, whatsoever you plant into the ground, whatsoever you allow to be pushed up in your life, that shall ye also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you look back over, we've read a lot of the verses. We didn't read them all in the preceding chapter that led up to this verse. Did they talk about just works of charity? Or did they talk about something deeper in our life? Did they not talk about the deeper things, that's where it comes from? So this well-doing, let's not run around with a bunch of little water guns. Let's realize what it means in our life. And let's let the Lord start digging with his word. And as he turns up rocks, be honest about them. Doesn't need to be there. Let's pick it up and pull it out. If you don't, the Lord can't get his water down there. You can let the word hit you over and over and over, but until you reach down and you pick those rocks up out of your life, till you're willing to crucify the flesh, to get it out of that hole, to get it out of the way, the Lord's word cannot come down. His spirit cannot come down in your life and create the well that we need to drive Satan off of our land. We must decrease that he may increase. So well doing is well digging. In closing, John, the 7th chapter. John, the 7th chapter and the 38th verse. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's the plan the Lord has for our life. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in well-doing we are digging the well the Lord can fill in our life and give us the power to drive Satan off our land. You pray for me.